This is a Skirted Roundtable. I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings.
This is Megan Urquhart from Beach Bungalow 8.
And Joni Webb with Cota, Texas.
And on today's Skirted Roundtable, we are going to be discussing the recent FTC, Federal Trade Commission, ruling about bloggers and disclosure of endorsements and advertising on the blogs, and what that means for blogs in general. Are we media outlets? How is it affects us, if it does at all? Is it a big deal? Some people think it is, and other people don't. So, discuss.
Well, you know what? I'm not sure if this was in the actual guidelines, but they're referring to bloggers as word-of-mouth marketers. And that's, you know, that's sort of where I don't know. I think the whole act seems very vague. I think it has really blurry lines. And it's going to be really hard for them to police.
Yeah.
I mean, how are they really going to police this? And so does it mean that somebody who's using, like a crafter somewhere who's using a special glue that, I don't know, that was given to her, sent to her, now she has to disclose that?
Yeah, I think so, actually. I think that's what it means. Well, yeah, I think that if a crafter is using a special glue that was sent to them from the glue company because they said, hey, you make great beads or whatever it is they're doing. You know, we have this great new glue. Do you want to try it out? And then I think, yeah, they're supposed to say, so-and-so Acme Glue Company sent me this product and I love it.
No matter what the value, obviously, of it. So it's not like...
Do y'all think it's about truth in advertising? Is that what's driving this?
Yeah, I think it's related to truth in advertising. You know, that are you just saying this is great glue because you're getting it for free? Or are they paying you? Because I think that's that whole word-of-mouth marketing, is that advertisers are trying to use bloggers to create that word-of-mouth. You know, people sort of assume bloggers are just speaking from their heart, but not all bloggers are. You know, that there are bloggers who are endorsing things because they're being paid to do it and not disclosing that it's advertising.
Do you think that, like, I've written up shops, for instance, like cute boutiques, maybe in Brooklyn or something like that, and afterward I've been sent a little bit of, you know, a swag, a gift, a thank you gift. It's sort of, I mean, that's a hard one, you know?
Yeah, I don't, I wouldn't think, yeah, if you unsolicited wrote, you know, about a store, or any of us wrote about something, and then you got a little thank you gift after the fact... Yeah, I mean, that's just a thank you gift. I don't see how they could treat that.
So how do you think people are going to start doing it? They're going to say, I read this coffee table book, or they scan all the pictures and say, you know, it's available at Amazon, you know, or sign up now at Amazon for it. Do you have to then write in bold letters underneath, this book was given to me by the publisher? I mean, how's that going to work?
Well,
who's going to be policing this?
Well, I think
so ridiculous.
I mean, the policing is definitely a separate, you know, another issue, which is, you know, typical of sort of government. They put something on there and there is no way to police it. I think that the safe thing is to say, you know, like I get a lot of books from Rizzoli, and I generally say Rizzoli was kind enough to send me this book. I also sort of believe that book reviews are, you know, people assume book reviews, you've received the book. You know, to review, like the New York Times reviews books. They don't go out and buy the book, I don't think. But I think it's just, you know, I'll just make sure personally that I do say Rizzoli was kind enough to send me this book and I like it. I only ever put books on that I like. You know, I've received books that I haven't reviewed because they just didn't make me jump up and down.
Well, and I think they start this? I don't know that this was so much to do with design bloggers as it was for what they call mommy bloggers, who get these free trips to Disneyland and free cruises and this and that. Was it something around that they started realizing people were accepting huge gifts, monetarily huge gifts? But then, you know what? I mean, you know, people are asked to sit on panels, and I don't know this, so... I'm guessing, though, if they are from out of town and they're being, I don't know, are they being flown there? Are they being asked to fly there themselves, you know, to sit on a certain panel, you know, to discuss? I mean, the guidelines are so vague.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, if you're flown in to speak on a panel, you're not, unless, you know, where's the endorsement? The issue is, are you saying, I love this product as yourself.
Well, you're going to write about it on your blog, because then you're going to go, hey, I'm on this panel and so-and-so is putting it together and I feel so fortunate that I get to be a part of it. And, you know, I was on the Decorati panel, but it was a driving situation, and I don't think anyone was flown in for it that was a blogger, but I'm just thinking that sort of thing. Would the blogger then, every time they wrote about it, be required to disclose? Yes, I guess they would.
I think to be on the safe side, you would, and I don't know why you wouldn't. Like, I've always, you know, I have sponsors on my blog. They're listed as sponsors. If I've been sent something, like I was sent this cute little product a couple weeks ago that I'm going to blog about. It was unsolicited, but I'll say so-and-so sent me this cute little product and I like it. And here's where you can buy it. You know, so I'll just say it was sent to me and I like it, period. And I think that's disclosure. I think you're right. I think some of it goes to the mommy bloggers who it turned out were receiving, you know, some pretty big swag. You know, a book here and there is hardly swag. A fancy trip. And I'm not sure, I'm sure there weren't many mommy bloggers who were being given fancy trips, but, you know, who knows? But free stuff for the kid and free, you know.
I was reading one article about it, and they were saying that the FTC was saying they weren't even going to get into the enforcement of this. That was going to be in the courts, you know, if it even got that far.
$11,000 fine.
No, $16,000.
Oh, yeah, I swear I read a number 11,000.
I read 11,000 too.
The article I read said a lot of bloggers had erroneously written 11,000. It was actually $16,000 fine. Now, come on. What, to get a book?
Well, again, I'm sure it is in the levels of things. I think that if they go after you, if they find, to get a book, they're not going to levy a $16,000 fine.
I don't think it has to do with design bloggers.
Absolutely does not have to do with, it's not targeted to design bloggers, but design bloggers do promote goods
that they receive.
So that's why we're talking about it. But it's targeted to the Perez Hiltons. And it's targeted to the, you know, the really big wigs who are getting, you know, and a lot of it goes back to the old days of pay to play on the radio and the, you know, where they would pay the disc jockeys to play records. And that's, I forget the
payola,
you know, it is related to the payola concept of, if you pay me, I'll put this on my blog. How do we know a Perez Hilton doesn't do that? You know,
well, here's an interesting, I mean, you think about how many, I tend to read a lot of Australian blogs. Don't you feel like you do? I mean, I don't know why, it just turns out that way.
We read a lot of Canadian blogs.
And Canadian ones as well. I'm just thinking of outside of the United States. All over the place, all over the world. Do you think that this law has... they have to pay it, you know, are they going to have to abide by the law as well?
No, because it's a U.S. law.
They're not American citizens.
Right.
They have to be an American citizen. So if you're an American citizen living in a different country, then
That I don't know. So if there's any listeners who understand that, let us know. Because I would think that it would be a blog originating in the United States of America. Now, Google is in the United States of America. If your blog is hosted on Blogspot... for instance, even if you live in wherever, Australia,
just for
whoever, you know, but you're using Google and Blogspot, you're using an American-based thing, but, so, you know, it really does show there's a lot of gray area, but I think it is their attempt to rein in what blogs are becoming, you know, that...
Wow, good luck.
Well, it is, you're right, but I think there are some big blogs that this really, you know, I think it behooves all of us to kind of look at the rule and say, we shouldn't be endorsing something just because we're being paid for it. Because
you don't want to be the little guy who gets busted in order to make a point, you know, just to make the point.
Right, and I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, this company sent me this product and I really like it. Or,
but you know what? Let me, on the flip side, just to play devil's advocate, let's say I got a book. And I didn't really like the book that much, but, you know, my readers might like the book. Like, you know, like, I got this book on Mrs. Obama. You know, I knew half of my readers were not going to like the book. So why do I have to say that I don't like it if I don't like it?
Well, you don't have
Let's say, okay, for instance, let's say that I got the book on Miss Obama and I was a Republican and I don't like anything about the Obamas, but it's a good book. And so I'm going to say, yeah, you know, blah, 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 the pictures are lovely. But inside, I didn't really like the book. Why does the government have to tell me to be honest about my personal opinion about a product?
They're not telling you to be honest or dishonest about your personal opinion. They're telling you, they're saying you have to disclose, were you given the book for free or were you paid for your endorsement?
And
it has nothing to do with your opinion.
The whole point of that, Linda, is so that your audience will know that where your opinion is coming from.
Right.
Are you being paid? Which goes into the truth issue. And really, personally, I don't think it's any of the government's business.
Well, the government, to the extent that the government is there to protect your readers, on the flip side of that, say the MrsO.org website lady who wrote that book, which does look beautiful. And let me just say, not all Republicans would hate the book simply because they didn't vote for them. Just a little disclaimer.
Well, I did have the comment from people.
I'm sure. But
never again.
Yeah.
Read your blog.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You know, I think that if you were getting a kickback, the point is to keep it from you getting a kickback for giving a positive review to that book, regardless of your opinion.
And also, it's to protect people who are ignorant enough to believe weight loss, for instance, those weight loss,
right.
It goes as well as for them. These weight loss commercials that, you know, they write results not typical under that sort of thing. They need to stop doing that. They can't have somebody standing up there who actually had her, you know, her abs airbrushed in, standing in a bikini saying that she just lost 50 pounds. And it's to protect people who are really that naive to believe that this woman really did, you know, and then their product gets sold. So it's actually to protect the consumer. I totally understand that. It's just that's the end you're talking about, Joni, seems ridiculous, but the rule has to be across the board. You know, it has to be consistent.
Right, because I think that the issue is, are blogs media outlets? And, you know, at what point does a blog go from being your little personal journal to a media outlet?
Yeah, that's what I think is really fuzzy.
Yeah, and I think because it is fuzzy. I mean, the digital media is a very fuzzy industry.
The whole internet
mean, when I worked at Channel 2, I worked in rights and royalties. And, you know, we protected our own original content that we shot, and we had to clear the rights to use any images or whatever that were from third parties. And when the internet boom started, because that's when I was working there, the lawyers had no idea what to do. Because suddenly digital media meant that TV shows that we had produced in a linear, you know, put the video in, start at the beginning, work your way to the end, could be sliced and diced and moved and edited and all of this stuff, and it was online and everybody could have it. It just changed the world. So this is, you know, the blogs are changing they're changing the world, and they're becoming a real force of power.
Well, there was a guy that recently got sued by Corbis for using, I think I may be way off, but how this all came about, I want to say it was like a business blog. Like, it was a blog, almost newsletter/blog, and he pulled a photograph from Corbis's website and didn't pay for it, and they sued him, I don't know, I want to say like $20,000 or more dollars. And I mean, his quote, it was in the LA Times, his quote was just like, let him sue me, I don't have the money.
Right.
I mean, anyone can sue anyone, you know, when it comes down to it. But so Corbis was suing this guy for using, you know, a photograph without asking. And he just had gone on, was trying to illustrate a post. So, you know.
Right. And
you don't know when you're going to get police. You need to watch it.
Yeah. I mean, Corbis had every right to certainly request a cease and desist, pull the image.
I agree. I totally agree.
You know, and maybe they did and he refused. And so.
No, I think he did. He immediately took it off.
Yeah.
But they sued him for stealing their property.
And that, you know, that's the kind of thing I think most judges would say, you know. No, unless he was making, for some reason, a lot of money on his blog.
He wasn't making any money.
So was Corbis, some lawyer, over-anxious lawyer at Corbis looking to make a point. But yeah. So anyway, yeah, I mean, I think that the internet really, things move so fast in the internet that the, you know, today's little mommy blogger is tomorrow's deuce.
Right. That's,
you know,
right.
Her word means a lot to a lot of people, and not to single her out or make any suggestion that, you know, there's anything going on there. But an example I was thinking of, and again, this is, I'm going to name a name. There is in no way that I'm suggesting that there's anything, that there's been any kind of payback or anything. It's just a good example is Rhoda Southern Hospitality and the famous beadboard wallpaper that she posted about. And then she posted about it again, and Home Depot sold out like that day.
Yeah.
And I know because I went to go buy it and couldn't buy it. And, you know, she's absolutely not endorsing a product that she's being paid for at all. There's no hint of it. There's no reason to think so. But her word is obviously golden. And
last week we talked about the Kindle. I mean, they just got Charlotte Moss,
right.
You know, telling us
you
how
know great. That Amazon called me to thank me about the Kindle, that they sold out of the Kindle the next day.
Are you kidding? No, I didn't know that. But see,
yes,
that shows you the power of it.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh. Joni, I wouldn't believe that. I bet you there was a spike, though.
But she did run out of that wallpaper. Isn't that amazing?
But that shows you. I think that completely shows you.
Yeah, a lot of people did say that they went and bought a Kindle after they listened to it.
And then there was the person.
I keep thinking about it. I keep thinking, maybe I need a Kindle, especially now that Lonnie's on. Could I read it?
But
on
it's
Kindle?
Not in color, Megan.
Oh no, I need color.
I know, not for Lonnie.
Then, though, because that was the person who thought we should have edited out the whole Kindle section.
Hey, you know why? I could see why. Because I gotta tell you, as we were going on and on, there have been times when I thought, my God, I have promoted the heck out of something. In fact, I think today on my post, I put something that I purchased at Urban Outfitter that I loved. I now feel like I need a little stamp at the end of each of my posts saying, I'm not getting a kickback. I just like it.
I don't know if it's going to come to that, but I think that if there needs to be a stamp, probably if you are receiving something, just to, you know, if you got it for free or whatever. But no, the only thing I was going to say about the beadboard wallpaper is just, you know, there's a great example of someone who bought it and held on to it for like a year and used it and then shared it with people. Mm-hmm. Now, she's got a huge following. She's very popular. You know, she could have just been promoting it because they contacted her and said, I think this is a product that would work for your audience. If the manufacturers, Graham & Brown, had a crack PR for team, did online promotions, and, you know, we'd like to provide you with the stuff and we pay you to do this.
But I don't think people would have liked it any less had she said, you know, oh, by the way, Home Depot is sponsoring this post.
No, I agree. I think that if just, and this is completely hypothetical, we're not suggesting anything. It's just the example. Yeah. I mean, I think that if that had been the case, you just disclose it and said, I tried it and I just like think this stuff is, you know, great. Go forth and use it. But if that had happened and she didn't disclose it, that's what this ruling or guidelines, they're guidelines actually, are looking to try to just make sure that in that case, her readership would be aware that it was a paid endorsement versus a simple personal endorsement, which really a personal endorsement does carry more weight than a paid endorsement. You know, you really do think, I trust this person, you know.
But I think if her readers would, if she said, or if anyone would say, okay, I did get asked to review this, and is the review, that's the thing, is a review different than saying, this is a great product?
Is a review the same as an endorsement, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, a good review is, in effect, an endorsement. A review is technically supposed to be completely non-partisan. There are certain media outlets that will not even accept free books, that will not accept free anything. I mean, most actually will not accept anything free. They have to, if they're going to review it, they have to go out and buy it.
By the way, reading that stupid new FTC ruling, which is what I think of it, they were talking about the free books that you get. And they recommend that once you've reviewed the topic, the book, you are to return the book to the publisher.
Oh, I read that. Yeah.
Now, is that the stupidest thing you've ever heard?
They said that that's what most people do. I
BS.
Did know that. Do you know that? I know.
BS. that is what you are. They want you to do is take all your free books that you got to review, which, you know what, I consider them a little gift, don't y'all?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've only gotten like 3 or 4 books to take. I've really only gotten 3 books in 2 years. But anyway, to me, it was like a little thank you gift, and now I'm supposed to send it back to the publisher. You know, they don't want it back.
With a little note saying, I don't want to get in trouble, so.
Here, have your book back.
Inscribe it.
I think it is the stupidest, most ridiculous. Talk about being a left winger and believing in big government. I mean, this is the stupidest thing they've ever
Well, it's
up.
Because, it, you know what, I really think it's because there's this whole internet thing is just so, it's
yeah,
so confusing.
Okay,
the whole, it's so vast.
Then, Megan, they should have put a readership on it. If you have a readership above 100,000 a month.
Wait, I'm not disagreeing. I think it's stupid, too, by the way. I think it's totally stupid.
You know, they could have done that. This, how many blogs are there? Like 5 billion? What, 5 million? Open blogs or something once I read. I don't know. The number was astronomical. So, why wouldn't they, you know, most of them probably have 0 to 1 reader. Put a number on it.
Yeah,
you have
I think
25,000
right.
readers a week, okay. Or 50,000, okay. But, you know.
I think that's, yeah, I think the guidelines, I think they still need to adjust it.
Well, as I said, they're guidelines. They're not, you know, it's not a law per se. It's just it's a guideline, but it's obviously a guideline that has some enforcement somewhere.
No, they're not going to, it's not enforcing. That's up to the courts, or right. I guess the DA to sue some, to go after someone.
But I think in general, it's up, people just need to, you know, if you're given something for free and you decide you like it and you want to post about it, you just say, I was given this for free.
Yeah, what's the big deal?
Yeah, yeah. I don't think there's any big deal about that. I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it should be confidential information. I don't think there's any reason to keep it confidential. You know, just be on the safe side and just say, I got this for free or whatever. And,
right, or all this was paid for or...
Right. I mean, I'm going to have, you know, my whole kitchen appliance thing coming up where I'm being, it's in trade for some work I'm doing. But I'm going to disclose that this is being given to me in trade. And, you know,
I think about the fashion blogs and all the girls I read who do their fashion blogs always go, can you believe that this store sent me all this great stuff? You know, and they show, that's the whole post, you know, the box of shoes that they just got from somebody. Or
And that's disclosure.
The
and that's But that's disclosure. You know, mm-hmm. It's clearly obvious they were sent it and they're, you know, and that's the other thing is, look how cool I am. I'm getting this free, I'm getting a, you know, my advanced copy. I'm on the advanced copy list. You know, there's that other take, the other side of it.
I'd love to know who's out there making the bank that made this FTC ruling go. I mean, who's raking it in out there? Certainly isn't me or any other design blogger.
I don't think any design bloggers are, but it's where
these mommy bloggers they talk about.
Could be the mommies, or it could be, you know, the gossip blogs. I mean, it could be, you know, it's not just our segment of the blog world. It could be Huffington
right.
Post. I mean, that's a blog.
True.
Well, how about the Drudge Report, who kind of started it all?
Started what, blogging?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the premier bloggers, was Drudge,
right.
Matt Drudge.
And so, yeah, I think it's that ilk, but we are part of that ilk. You know, we may be on the small end of that ilk, but... you know, we're part of it. But, you know, the fact is we're being positioned. I mean, we, you know, I get pitches every day, all day long, pitches from PR firms.
Oh, for sure.
You know, so
that's interesting.
They think we're worth their time.
And I think that this is with so many magazines, unfortunately, going under. Why not? I mean, if you have a large readership, why not? I mean, it's, you know, from the PR people's point of view, it's great. If you can get in with a blogger that has a big readership,
right?
It's awesome. We have a lot of people listening to what we post. Why not, you know?
One thing I was thinking about when I was thinking about this, talking about this, was I remember after when Domino closed, didn't they have a yard sale, that big yard sale out in the Hamptons or someplace? or it wasn't the Hamptons. They schlepped like all the freebie stuff that they had in their closets and did this,
right.
You know, and that's kind of along the same lines, is the magazines are sent all this swag, you know, stuff to promote and samples and
what
everything.
What about TV shows? You always see, you know, especially the reality shows, they're always walking around just with the Diet Coke.
Right.
You know, you see constantly, I mean, product placement all over the place. Does that now have to be disclosed?
I'm sure that,
yes.
I mean, I think it always has had to be disclosed. I don't know that that's a new requirement.
Like in the credits, maybe? Maybe
I think it's in the, you know, the credits run so fast that I imagine that there is a, that doesn't mean to say they always do it, but I imagine there's a requirement that in the credits there is something about.
Or they're always eating at a certain restaurant, or they're always shopping, yeah.
You look like a John and Kate plus eight, every single thing was a product endorsement. But in the old days, when I worked at Channel 2, we did Martha Stewart's very first TV show, entertaining, and very first TV special, and we had to be very careful that, like, when she had a bottle of wine, it was turned with the label away from the camera. There could be no product endorsements that weren't, you know,
paid for
basically, and anything that was paid for was publicly acknowledged.
Speaking of being paid for, would y'all want to switch the conversation to discussing free blogging and where we think it's going?
Sure. What do you mean by free blogging?
Well, you know, how long can you survive doing a quality blog?
Oh, for free.
And not getting paid for it.
Taking on advertising. You mean more than just the...
At what point do you say, how long can I... Is it make sense for me to put 5 hours a day into something I'm not going to get paid for? Mm-hmm.
Do y'all see a day coming when people will pay to read blogs?
No. I mean, maybe certain blogs. I just think that, I mean, would you pay to read a certain blog?
Imagine there was a screen when you clicked onto the blog with a little PayPal thing, and you had to hit yes, and it cost you 10 cents to read it. Would you?
Oh, probably. If I nickel, yeah, that's exactly. I tend to nickel and dime myself, so yeah, that would work perfectly.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yes, I mean, I guess it would depend on, do I feel like I'm being taken advantage of in that moment, or do I, if it was a 10 cent, which obviously you'd have to have a huge readership to make that worthwhile. But I think it's possible that some blogs will go in that direction of either they'll have the public side of the blog, and then if you'd like a more in-depth side, that maybe that's a pay side.
Don't y'all think that eventually the internet is going to become less free?
I don't know how they're going to be able to regulate that.
PayPal?
Yeah. I don't know if it's regulating.
I think that something else is going to pop up that's free and that is more innovative, and that's, you know, if that were your business to create some kind of product like that, there's so much competition.
Seriously, y'all, think about it. Think about how many hours of enjoyment is spent today on the internet. We used to watch TV all night. Do y'all watch TV anymore, or are you on the internet?
Both.
Okay.
Simultaneously. Well,
I think there's an enormous amount of people that don't really watch TV anymore. They don't read the papers. They're on the internet. And it's all free. It's free.
I think you're going to make a lot more money, not by charging your audience or your readers, but by being the endorser, but a paid, you know, I mean, back to Deuce. She have Nike. I haven't been on her site in a while, but she had Nike for a long time as a major supporter, you know, fortifying her blog.
Yeah.
Advertising is going to be where you're going to make your money as a blogger. And if you really do have that big of an audience, I wouldn't depend on the audience paying for it, but, you know, I would depend on the advertisers paying for your audience.
You know, it is very hard, because, like, I've had friends, business people in, like, various business groups I'm in who... they don't blog, and so they're always trying to help me find new ways I can make money. And, you know, it was like, well, you should write tip sheets on how to do things and sell them on your blog. And I'm like, you know, there's a whole big blog called hgtv.com, among others, that gives it all away for free.
There's always going to be somebody. Yeah. And then how are you going to make that law, you know, worldwide, like we were just talking about?
Well, this isn't really so much a law. I mean, you would just, you know, the individual blog owner might decide to start charging. It's not, I don't think Joni was suggesting it should be a law that it should be paid for. It's just, is the market going to start shifting that people are going to be required to pay for online content because the content providers can't afford to give it for free.
I was talking about where do y'all think it's going, because when you think about it, it's free entertainment and nothing is free in this world, you know, and I wonder if it's going to continue to be free.
I think so. Although I've seen people ask for money.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's the tip jar. You can do, like, the make a donation in my little tip jar. I've seen bloggers do that. I think it's kind of crass, but, you know, whatever.
Well, no, I don't. When somebody has one of these great, like, techie websites with enormous information on it about technical information about a blog or how to fix your camera or... And they ask, you know, if you like this, you know, go through PayPal. I you know, why should they do it for free? I understand that.
No, I don't think that they should.
I always feel guilty when I read it and don't put a little bit of money into it, though.
This has been the Skirted Roundtable with Joni Webb from Coat to Texas, Megan Arquette from Beach Bungalow 8, and I'm Linda Merrill from Surroundings. Thank you so much for joining us. We always appreciate all your comments, emails, and suggestions. You can visit us online at www.skirtedroundtable.blogspot.com or download our podcasts from iTunes. Search for The Skirted Roundtable. Thanks so much, and we'll be back soon.